This is a Triple J podcast.
People assume femininity means weakness or unintelligent, or that it was almost like I had to be twice as good at comedy to even get a look in.
Hello, Dee here, and we just did our huge Hook Up Live show over the weekend. I'm still coming down off of it. It was so much fun. Thank you to every single person who came. We sold out over 300 and I think nearly 80 tickets, which is wild. And if you listening didn't come to the live show, do not worry. We are editing it now. Our video team is putting it together. And we're going to have it up on YouTube in your podcast feeds very, very soon. So stay tuned. But yeah, it is Melbourne Comedy Festival this month, and there are so many comedians in town. Some you'll hear from the live show, but Pip and I also thought we may as well get some into the studio, and especially comedians who we think that you might like to hear from or maybe relate to kind of what their shows are about. So first up for this ep, it's Eloise Eftos. We actually have had a lot of DMs coming through recently talking about how, you know, you've never been in a proper relationship before, or you've been single most of your life, or a lot of you sharing your anxieties and shame around how the older you're getting and everyone's kind of settling down, you're really worried about not having found a partner. Well, this is what this chat you're about to hear with Eloise is mainly about. Her new comedy show, Aphrodite, is all about how she's never been in love before. She's in her early 30s and is single and is trying to unpack all this stuff she's grown up absorbing about how you need to have a partner to be seen as worthy as a woman, especially as someone with Greek Macedonian heritage. She also talks about how cooked heterosexual dating is and hookup culture, and how that's kind of playing a huge part as to why she doesn't really even want a date in the first place. So yeah, a lot of really mixed emotions about it. But Eloise also calls herself Australia's first attractive comedian. And it's almost as a way to push back on society about what it means to be a female comedian, where women are usually expected to be self-deprecating and put themselves down and not talk too highly of themselves. So it's almost like a bit of a protest against sexism in the industry. Eloise refuses to put herself down and instead builds herself up. She calls herself Australia's first attractive comedian, talks about how hot, pretty, smart, funny she is, which is obviously working for her. She last year won 4 comedy awards. She was nominated for Best Newcomer at Edinburgh Fringe last year, and actually the first Australian woman to be nominated. So she's really having her moment right now. And it is such an interesting chat that might make you think about, you know, why some things trigger us, how you might feel about pandering to the male gaze, and make you rethink about what it means to be single in a world that tells you that you really shouldn't be. So enough from me, let's get into it. Eloise.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You have absolutely smashed your aspirations.
Babe, you're so sweet saying it like
4
this.
You won 4 comedy awards last year.
Yes.
You were nominated for the Best Newcomer at Edinburgh last year.
Yeah.
Fringe Festival, which is the biggest comedy festival in the world, pretty much. And you were the first Australian woman nominated. And it was 5 people.
For that award, yeah.
So
babe,
amazing.
Insane. I still can't believe. It's like being nominated for an Oscar. It's like in comedy.
100%.
It's an award where so many incredible people, like the list of Australians is amazing. It's cool to share it with all the boys, but it's amazing to be especially nominated, like the first woman nominated, but with that show, I think is just, it was surreal. I couldn't believe it.
So we're going to chat about this show. So last year, we'll talk about your new show in a sec, but last year it was Australia's first attractive comedian. I went to it with my girlfriends.
Yes, babe.
And we pissed ourselves laughing.
Thank you.
How did that kind of tagline, because it's kind of been your tagline now for a couple of years, right? And your main kind of bit in comedy.
Yes.
Did that come because people told you that you were too hot to come in comedy?
I think it was a bit that. And I think my style of comedy being high status, I thought it was funny to sort of call myself, you know, when there's sort of like world's first like something or Australia's first something, I think it's a really funny grab your eye title. And I thought it was funny to say first attractive comedian because no one else that I knew in comedy was talking about how hot they were. And I thought it was funny. And it is obviously a joke and it's obviously me saying it in jest, but then the response to it was what was so fascinating to me.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's just, it was like a social experiment. Firstly, people assumed I was talking about other women and I never said female. So I was like, no. And then I was sort of like, it's all for all of them. And I found it really interesting that it was a lot of comedians that tried to like police me about what I was wearing and what I could joke about and even calling myself that. And then I also just found it a really interesting litmus test. So when I'd walk out on stage, the way the audience would respond to me or even comedians in the green room, I didn't feel welcome. I didn't feel
like
I should be.
What were they doing?
I just felt like it was very...
judgy?
Yeah, judgy. And then you're almost tossed to the side. And I think it's also that thing of femininity is people assume femininity means weakness, or there's so many connotations with the judgment of women and the way that we dress and act. It was funny to go on stage and be like, I'm better than everyone else. And I think that is, it was funny to me. It was funny to do high status as a woman, and it was really, it felt good.
So can you explain for people who maybe don't understand what high status comedy is, but also like a little bit about what you would say in the show?
Yeah. So high status for me is I don't do self-deprecating, so I don't put myself down. So when I'm on stage, I'll put people down on stage, like, you know, in the audience, or obviously always in jest unless they're being assholes. For me, high status is not really done by women. High status comedian that's a woman that I love is Natasha Leggero. She's really great. She's American.
Okay.
She was quite inspiring for me. But someone that does high status in Australia would be like Tom Gleason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I'm better than you. And he has that air of like superiority. But I found it really funny that when I did it, the way that I looked and dressed, it was got even more flack. And that for me was really interesting.
It's so fascinating that it's such a gendered thing.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And you had people saying you were anti-feminist.
Yeah. It was like a whole thing of like it's anti-feminist, or people will think you're talking about women. And yeah, I kind of was like, well, what is feminism? I think the first show is kind of my look at how contradictory feminism is and also how important it is as a movement. But the fact that if we don't move with it, it becomes this like second wave white feminism. I don't know. Is changing the green M&M to be less sexy really going to fucking like change feminism? Like, wow, that's really going to change things for us. Like, is that really going to help? Like, and my show is kind of about that and how being attractive, you know, is like, I jokingly say, like, it's really hard for me to be hot and do comedy. All the other comedians look like mutants. Like, they're so gross. And obviously I'm joking and it's silly, but it's, for me, the show is really about why do women have to put themselves down to, I guess, make people laugh, but also be accepted in society, because it is what we've been conditioned to do, is to be people pleasers. And I think that there is the message as well, is that we are only valued for our looks if we don't know it. If we don't know that we're pretty and attractive, then that's all okay. But if we know, oh, how dare you? How dare you know that you have value, that you're smart and then you're hot and you're funny? Because obviously it's not just about being hot. For me, it's about the whole thing.
Well, attraction can be all those things.
I agree.
Not necessarily. You're not saying I'm the most beautiful, sexy, hot. Like you're saying I'm the first attractive.
Babe, no one's ever said this take, and it's actually the most amazing take I've ever heard.
Well, attraction is so many different things.
Babe, exactly. Oh my God, this is one of the best takes I've ever had about the show and about my tagline. It's also like amazing marketing. But people remember it. And I think it's also like, what is attractive? And that's what I talk about in the show too, when I play all the different characters and make fun of like this male gaze fantasy characters. For me, it's like, obviously it's a persona. I'm not like that in real life. I wish I was more like that in real life. Just like an affirmation, you know?
Well, it is such an incredible experiment because, like you said, people do get so triggered.
Yeah.
But it's a performance.
It's
crazy. You're playing characters, you're performing, and people do get so triggered. Didn't
Nia Vardalos, who I'm a huge fan of, I'm obsessed with her, she saw the tagline when I was talking about her movie on a podcast, and when she saw that, she was like, this is taking us back to the dark ages, and like, this is really bad, like, you shouldn't, you know, beauty's, you know, is skinned, like, it's not just, you know, on the outside and everything. And I kind of had to over explain the joke. And I think even the fact that it says comedian in it and it says first, it's like, clearly this is a joke. But I also empathize with, you know, it is mostly women in comedy of that age group that were criticizing me. And there was obviously men too, babe, of course. But I found it really interesting that they kind of tried to call me out and be like, by the way, this is actually really bad. Like, you're actually like hurting what we've worked so hard for. And it's kind of like, I empathize. I can only imagine what it was like for them. But for me, my act and what I wear on stage is almost like a protest. It's kind of like post Me Too. I hope that men backstage feel uncomfortable if they can see me in a little dress and they're going, I don't know what to say. It's like, yeah, good. You should, like, the amount of women that started comedy back then, it was like, they'd wear clothes that were like, they dressed like men because they didn't feel comfortable. You know, I make fun of the fact that, and obviously I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. I'm obviously friends with a lot of male comedians. But if it is someone who is going to attack me for what I'm wearing because I don't feel comfortable, it's like, why don't you feel comfortable? That's your shit. That's not me. That's got nothing to do with me.
My two cents is I don't even think it's about what you're wearing. I think it's about
the confidence.
The confidence. I think it really does show the Australian tall poppy syndrome how bad it is, because I think a lot of it is just you being really confident and saying, I love myself, I'm hot, I'm sexy, I'm smart, and I'm incredible.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sit well with people.
It doesn't. They don't want to accept it. That's what was really funny, babe. When I just did the show in New York, I found it really funny. The part of my show where I go, yeah, when I first started stand up, I was literally the best at it. And in Australia, everyone laughs. In the UK, they laugh. But in America, they're like, okay.
No,
like, they didn't get a laugh. They're just like this. Yeah, they're so, the culture is just so,
so
different,
true.
Babe. They're like, great, good for you. Like, it's for sure, you know? But like, it's funny. You're so right. The tall poppy syndrome of it all. And that's what I found really funny. Why is our culture so like that? But especially with women, I find it so exhausting. It's exhausting. And then I also find it also why I had so much more success overseas. The reaction, the response was so much quicker. Whereas I think here in Australia, it was a bit more slow and a bit like, oh, what is she all about? And that's why I feel like I have to move.
Well, yeah. And across the board, you see it all the time where someone starts, we love a rags to riches.
Yeah.
We love a rags to riches.
We love an underdog.
We love an underdog. But then as soon as you get too cocky.
Don't be careful.
Absolutely.
Babe.
We pull them down.
They're not one of us. They're not one of us now.
You've got
you know?
You flew too close to the sun.
Exactly.
You've got to.
Even the whole thing of like being cocky. I also think that my act is quite like, it's very flirtatious, but I also think it's quite coquettish. Like, I feel like it's like sexy flirty, but it's like, I'm making fun of what people, I think people think I'm making fun of women. And it's like, no, I'm making fun of how you view women. And it's a kind of, I want it to be a playful, fun environment.
With the criticism of people being like, you know, you're back to the dark ages and the anti-feminist stuff.
Yeah.
How do you feel about people saying, you know, you're just pandering to the male gaze and encouraging women to, I guess, keep dressing in a certain way that is like, quote unquote, like hypersexual or like.
I think it's funny because with the whole, I mean, I say it in my show that, yeah, I do perform for the male gaze and the gay men, obviously women too, but, and the they thems. But the whole idea of male gaze, and it's such an interesting thing, like this whole idea of male validation. It's like, I'm a straight woman. And I find it really funny that people kind of, I'm sort of using what's been used against us. I could dress in baggy clothes or whatever, but I also think that I have a lot of shame. And this is what I talk about in my new show, is I have a lot of shame around my body and sex and sexuality, especially growing up as like a, you know, a second generation Greek Macedonian girl. And it's almost like for me to feel ashamed about what I'm wearing or my body, like that's not my shame. I want to feel desired and attractive. Yeah, there probably is a part of me that's like, oh, well, if I want male attention, which I hate to say it, but like, is that a crime that I do want some male validation? It's like, yeah, I'm attracted to men. It's almost a bit like, also you can't escape it. There's times when I don't feel good in a little dress and I won't wear a little dress. But there's also a part of me that feels like I end the show with the fembot and I wear lingerie. And for me, it's like a defiant protest moment of like, regardless of how my body is making me feel or how other people's prejudices are making me feel, this is a protest. If I don't feel good, I'm still going to get out on stage and dance in this lingerie and I'm going to feel powerful doing it. I think that also female sexuality is very intimidating for men. And I think that's what's kind of funny. It's like, oh, you're doing it for the male gaze. I'm like, trust me, like, I don't get hit on as much as you think, babe.
Well, this is what your new is your new show, Aphrodite. It's all about that. So you've never been in love.
Yeah.
Tell us about how your dating life has been.
I feel like because my schedule is so busy at the moment and I'm so grateful for it, I do have this weird feeling of like, well, I don't really have time to date. And then there is a part of me that in the back of my head that's like, oh, is that why things are going well for me? I don't have a man ruining it, right? But then I also feel like I see so many friends of mine who are in these beautiful relationships and they're like, oh, my partner really helps me. But I'm like, I've never met anyone that's given me that. But then there's a part of me that's like, careful to let anyone in because I've worked so hard for this confidence. It makes me emotional.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like really like, I say that the show, it's called Aphrodite in Greek is Aphrodite, which is the Greek goddess of love, but she's of sexual love, desire, fertility. She's the Greek goddess of many things. But for me, she acts like a guide. But there is a part of me that's like, I feel this weird dichotomy within me. It probably is a bit more Madonna whore and a little bit like the Greek goddesses like Aphrodite and Athena. And I have this like armor, and there's a part of me that's like, to be desired is currency, but to desire is a liability. And I do feel this like weird thing of like, if I let someone in, they're going to take my power away. And I worry that, especially the way things are culturally right now, especially with dating, especially with like this divide that we have between men and women, I want to believe that that is not going to be forever. But there is a part of me that's like scared. I sort of go, is that the sacrifice to find love? Is that I have to make myself small? Because that's what I've seen. For me, I'm like, what's it going to take? What does it take? Is this weird shame and double guessing things? Is that also not me? Is that my upbringing? Is that, you know, is that living in Australia as an ethnic girl? Is that, what is it? You know what I mean? And so I really am finding it so interesting, like researching a lot of it. Even this character of Aphrodite's most sexually liberated, like fantasy character. And yes, written by men, I guess. But then it's like Christianity comes in and then it's like sex is bad and sex isn't for pleasure. It's to make babies and to have children. And it's crazy that like even the idea of like wanting as a woman or desiring is, it's like a shameful thing.
We have so many women who DM us and say like, yeah, I'm in my 30s. I want to have a family.
Totally.
But I'm really struggling in dating and I'm not finding anyone.
Yeah.
Do I just go and have a child myself? Like,
totally.
And they're really strong anxieties and
and how
shame
can you not have that? How can you not have that?
There's feel a part like you're of me, missing out.
There's a part of me that's like, I hate that there's a part of me that sometimes sees couples when I'm walking around and it's like, ugh, like, you know what I mean? Or there's part of me that feels almost this weird resentment, but then there's also a part of me that has like hope, and it probably depends on, you know, what stage of your cycle, babe, you're bloody in. I just have all this like this shame that I'm like, where is this coming from? What is this? And I feel like it's my love letter to women. I hope it's like a bit of a guide to men. I also hope that it's also a bit of a love letter to ethnic women who grow up with these values, like time capsule culture. It's from the 40s and 50s. Like, that's not, you go back to the motherland, they're all topless on the beach. Do you know what I mean? I just wish that men could respect us. I'm like, even casual sex, I'm like, that's a scam for women. That's a whole part of my show. I don't know if it was staying because I'm still obviously chopping and changing as we have this talk, but even that, it's like, I feel like we're doing sex work for men. Most women can't even come from penetrative sex. And you're telling me that you enjoy it just as much as they do? Do you know what I mean?
Hookup culture.
Hookup culture. It's cooked. It's cooked. And I know we're on the hookup and we love it.
No, babe. You don't have to promote
but hookup. But you know what I mean? Like this whole idea of, I want to believe that things can change and get better. But there is something that's really off that happened within this whole, like, I guess, development or rise of hookup culture, as if we could truly be equals with men, and we're not. I only think the only way that we will ever be truly equals is if they treat us like we are gods, because they're raised to think they can do whatever the fuck they want. And all of a sudden we're like, hey, can you not do that? Can you not like sexually assault us or whatever? Or like, and I think they're now short circuiting. They're going, wait, what? Imagine that. Imagine growing up being told you can do whatever you want. And then one day someone's like, you actually can't. They don't know what to do.
There's so much, and we hear this all the time, confusion around what's okay, what's not okay, what's
totally
the rule, like what you're saying.
What's
like
the rules?
Have sex on the first date and don't have sex on the first date. Like, yeah, we just did an episode on that. I think we're just in a time in history where there was so many different phrases for things like, you know, bench warming and Netflix and chill, babe, and breadcrumbing and this and that. And there's like a term for everything.
Yeah.
And there's so many different dynamics and so much possibility,
yeah,
which is incredible, and so much freedom. But then also, how do you even work through all of that?
No, totally.
Like, choice plus, like you've been saying, dealing with a lot of shame, religious or cultural,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And so you're like, it's at odds
totally
with being like, but wait, I've grown up with consuming all these messages through the movies I've watched,
totally,
and my family and the people around me about how I should date and have sex, but
right,
then
absolutely
apparently I'm meant to be liberated.
It's this confusing, really, really hard thing to navigate. I even talk about my yaya, like when she came to Australia and she had no choice. She was chosen. And this whole idea of like even wanting to be chosen and then going, oh, but I have choice, but then what are my options? And then it feels like this weird, where it's so confusing. It's such a scary thing to navigate. I hate this idea that we don't even just connect anymore. Bring back the art of flirting, make people feel fuckable again. It's like even that whole thing of Me Too was such an important movement and it was about men holding men accountable. But I also think that they're getting the manosphere messaging and we're getting they're all shit and you shouldn't even want them. And I'm going, but I'm attracted to them. I just want to be able to like find deep connection with people. But then I'm also a bit like, why the hell would I take my guard armor off and let someone in when my fear is that men don't like successful women. They don't like funny women. They don't. That's, I think, why I worry that love isn't real. There's like a part of me that's like, what do I have to sacrifice as a woman? Because that's what I see. I have so much that I need to figure out. And I'm hoping, I guess, with this new show, I can talk about it in this way. Because also with the idea of Aphrodite being the guide, like she is like the epitome of like sexual liberation. It's just such a tough thing to navigate right now of what is right, what is wrong, what should I do?
It's such a hard time. I don't know. I really believe like romantic love has been put on this pedestal.
Totally.
And
is that too?
I'd love to hear what you think about this because I just think that, yeah, it's we've been built up in a world that has conditioned us to see romantic love as like yeah. the love of all loves.
Especially women.
Especially women. Yeah. And, you know, you grow up and you get married and a prince, you know, proposes totally. To you and you have kids. And I think that people can feel really less than or that something's wrong
totally.
With them if they've never had that.
Yeah.
But I almost think like, well, sometimes you can have even more pure loves or more intimacy with
totally.
Friends.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, that's what I, at the start of the show, it might still be at the start, I keep going.
I love that. Caveat. We're workshopping, babe.
I'm going, this is great actually for the development of the
yeah.
show. But I say like the ancient Greeks said there's seven different types of love. So there's seven different types of love apparently. And the seventh is actually self-love. And I find that really interesting. But the idea that there's also like family love and everything. And I do think that romantic love is put on a pedestal, but I also think that there are so many things that are stopping people from finding romantic love. Because I think surely it must be real, right? Surely it must. And I think for me, I'm like, oh, I've never felt that. And I've obviously dated people and I've had like a boyfriend or two. But I also think like there was maybe something stopping me from really and maybe stopping them. And I think that there's also just a bigger issue of respect, of letting people in. And I'll admit that I'm scared to be vulnerable, not with my friends or not with my family, but romantically, absolutely.
And dating app fatigue. Like this
Babe,
is a
fuck
huge...
I don't even go on it.
This is a huge thing hearing you talk about it and like the whole people feeling disposable.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It feels really transactional or people are getting ghosted or people aren't replying.
Yeah. Which I feel like has happened to me more than like me having successful. I'm like, is there... I have two sort of trains of thought. I'm like, I think sex is a really... It is a big deal. And I'm sort of sick of people pretending it's not. It's a very intimate act. But I also don't want to believe it's such a big deal that it's like, oh my God, be careful. Don't do it. It's kind of like, I just don't like this idea of like people treating people like they're disposable because it is a big deal. It's a very intimate act.
You can also have casual sex with respect, right? It's
yeah.
like you can still
totally
participate in hookup culture if you wanted to, but be able to at least do it with people who also show up and are vulnerable and
totally.
Understand that, like and are on the same page with you.
Yeah.
With knowing that it is a sacred thing, it's an intimate thing, it's a
yeah.
really special thing for some people.
Totally.
And it's like, that doesn't necessarily equal a long-term relationship,
no.
but like, can we both at least have that same respect for each other?
It would be great to know that I could meet someone and have a fun fling with them and then just be like, this was really nice and thank you. Thank you for that. Maybe this won't be forever, but to leave it on this note of like respect, whereas I don't feel like that's happened sometimes. I don't run around hooking up with 50 million different people. I don't have time. And I also don't feel like that would be the best use of my time. But I also want to feel desired and feel connection. And I don't want to feel shamed for having sex that's not in a full-on monogamous relationship.
And trying to like unlearn and do the work.
Yeah.
But it is so worth it, hey, because then otherwise we are just kind of walking around not being very thoughtful.
Totally.
And doing what's authentic because we're just following the social scripts, right?
Yeah.
And we're just like, well, I guess I better participate in hookup culture.
Totally.
Or like, I guess I better quickly settle down.
Yeah.
Even though I'm 33. You
and
know
I
what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of like, do whatever you think. And there's a part of me that's like, sometimes the thoughts and anxieties I have, they're not mine.
Exactly.
They're what's being put onto me. And I'm hoping that people listening feel that, notice that too and go, that's not me. That's not... that's something else coming up. And yeah. Because I think that's really important, especially for women, because I think we have so much shit that's put onto us. In mythology and folklore, like throughout history, women being like sexually powerful and sexual, they're like villains. What's that about? It's like that why men are scared of vibrators? Like, I don't get it. Like, it's so random, babe. It's so random. And I find it so funny. It's like, why is that a thing? And I think it's really important that we are sexually liberated and do whatever feels good. I just wish that everybody was on the same page with like respect and how you navigate these things of communication and consent and like, babe, even all of that stuff. It's like, yeah, it'd be great to have casual sex and be in hookup culture if like, I don't know, men didn't watch so much porn and were slapping women across the face and choking them without consent. Like, I just, what's that? I also think that men think that sex is something they do to us.
That's something that Chanel Contos talks about so much.
It's so important. Obsessed with her.
Yeah, we've been taught for so long that sex is something that kind of happens, especially through the scripts of porn. It happens to us is what she writes in her book.
Yes.
Consent Laid Bare, and how, it's really hard to unlearn that.
Yeah.
Obviously, this show you'll be touring around Australia.
Yeah.
It's in Melbourne. But for people who might not be able to see it, what's kind of the biggest takeaway you want to leave people with?
I think I want people to rethink, I guess, love and sex and relationships. I think that's what I want. Because there is a part where I do sort of question whether love is real when I see people that are with people that aren't, you know, I'm like, your husband hates you. And I can fucking see that. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, and I'm supposed to aspire for that. I want to talk about it in this way that is, it questions people. I want to talk to men in the show. I hope men come to the show, and I hope that they also take away the idea of how they view women and they view sex and relationships too. And I want to be a little bit vulnerable, I guess, with the audience. And I hope that they get to see how I really feel, or like maybe I'm going to show them just a little bit more of the real me. And I'm really scared. I'm nervous to do that, but I also think that it's important. This show's like part two of a trilogy, I think. And the first show is about, you know, this is my persona and this is why I called myself this. And then this show's more about like the consequences, like what happens when you are very confident on stage. And we'll see. I hope they take away a few things about feminism and choice.
I love it, Eloise.
Yeah, babe, I hope it.
No.
Bless you,
I
babe.
Genuinely think that so many people listening will resonate with a lot of what you're saying, and it is a lot of stuff that people, I think, haven't been saying.
Yeah.
It's going to be an incredible show.
Thanks, babe. I feel much
really
better
excited.
Now. I'm still going to finish it, but it's coming together.
Bless
you, babe.
It's going to be the best.
You're so sweet. Thank you for having me.